Morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. We've had a good week. Brother Roy and Miss Kathleen took me over into a foreign land, Indiana. We got a little traveling over there. Heard some good stories about Brother Rick, so if y'all need something on Rick, let's see me after church. I don't know about you all, but I am really, really glad to be here today. Let me tell you why. Because as I look out in the world and see all that's going on, I see the destruction of the wildfires out west. I see where people are still trying to recover from the floods in Texas, from the hurricane in Florida, Puerto Rico, all those other places, all the turmoil that's going on all over. Listen, we have hope in Jesus. Amen? And so I'm thankful that we're able to be here together as His people to praise and worship Him and to learn more about His will for our lives. If you would turn your Bibles this morning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As you're turning there, I want to share a couple of things with you real quick by way of prayer request. One, some of you, as Brother Steve has already announced, the One Call system is operational. So some of you this morning, your cell phones while you was in Sunday school class, they went off. Brother Marvin had put out a prayer request for Melanie Fox's brother, is the way I understand it. I didn't hear the message, but that's what I've been told. Melanie Fox is if you remember back earlier in the year, she was baptized, and it's her brother's in UC Hospital. I think it was UC, wasn't it, Eddie? Anyway, I believe it was UC Hospital. I'll try to find out more information today, but if you'll be praying for him, please, don't know all the circumstances. And then there's a family that lost a three-year-old young lady that used to travel with Life Action Ministries. Now, if you can pray for the Andrews family, that would be greatly appreciated in the loss of their little one. All right. So this morning what I want to do is talk a little bit about, how many of you know anything about electricity? We got any electricians here today? Got one. Any other electricians? Know a little bit about electricity? Do you know there's, Kenny knows a little bit? Rick, surely you know something about electricity, don't you? You're afraid to raise your hand. Afraid I'll pick on you. There's what they call AC current and DC current. You know what those stand for? Alternating current and direct current. Do you know what all that means? Can I explain it to you so when everybody gets out here you can be an electrician? Absolutely not. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We will talk about AC current and DC current a little bit. We'll talk about some of that. But what I want us to look at here is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want us to read verse 18. We'll look at other scriptures as we go through the message this morning, but I want us to focus on verse 18 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, we truly want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to look into your word, Father, to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Help each one of us understand our need for you in every aspect of our life. Lord, as you speak to us today, help us to realize, Lord, that we are to be your ministers, Lord, that we're to proclaim the name of Jesus wherever we go. Lord, I pray that as you meet with us today, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that this will be the day, the very hour, that they put their faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. And Father, I pray for each one of us Christians. I pray that we'd be drawn a little closer to be more like Christ than we were yesterday. And as we leave this place today, we can say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord because we've been a changed people. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for what you're going to do in this service. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So folks, this morning as we think about that verse, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." But notice what it says, "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And that's really what I want to focus on. For those of you that are saved today, the power of God, that's what the preaching of the gospel is, and we've got to realize that. How many of you remember the commercial about the Energizer Bunny? Y'all remember that? He just keeps on going and going and going, you know, whether he's going across the desert, up some mountain, whatever the case might be. And you just think about that old Energizer Bunny. He keeps on going. But you know, the commercial isn't really about the bunny, is it? The commercial is about the battery. And the fact that battery can keep on going, that it's going to last a long time, all of that. And here's the thing, folks, what I've come to find out. We need batteries today. we use batteries like crazy. This little cordless lapel mic, whatever you want to call it, it takes a battery, and you've heard before where it's quit on me. We need batteries. How many of you just start panicking? And I should see probably every one of the people that's under the age of 30 raise their hand on this. How many of you begin to panic when you notice that cell phone, the battery is only about 10%? Yeah, we start worrying about it, don't we? And listen, it's not just the little kids anymore. It's not just the teenagers. It's the adults as well. Oh, what am I going to do? My battery, it's about to die. Well, Amos, he's got a tab. It's not a cell phone. It's a tab. And he can do all kinds of play games and all that. And when it gets below about 80%, he starts panicking, doesn't he, Tina? It's got to be on a charger. But you see, we need a good battery. And think about your automobile. You need a good battery, don't you? You go out there, and especially wintertime, and guess what? Winter's coming, folks. It won't be long. It'll be here. And if your battery's a little bit weak and it gets pretty cold, guess what? You turn it over, and it just doesn't start. We need a good battery, folks. Listen, we need a good power source. But here's the thing. Sometimes when that old battery in that car is a little bit weak, and you turn it over and it just kind of drags, you kind of get that clicking sound sometimes. You think, oh, man, I got to have a jump. And you know, if you're like me, the jumper cables are never with you. They're with somebody else. You can't find anybody that's got them, all those kinds of things. But listen, I heard a story about a man who his car was having a little bit of trouble trying to get it started. Every time he'd put that key in ignition, he'd turn it over and he'd just get that clicking sound, that old dreaded clicking sound. So he just, well, the battery shot. So he sent his son. He said, you going up to the car place there and you get me a new battery. And he comes back and he throws that new battery in there and he turns that key over and click, click, click. Same old thing. Man, what is wrong? So he called a mechanic friend of his. He came out and he checked it. And he got to looking. And the problem was not the battery. The problem was in the cables, in the connection. He didn't have a good connection. And folks, that's really what I want us to talk about as we think about that good connection. Listen. As redeemed Christians, as people who are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, we've got to make sure that we have a good connection to our power source. And that power source is Jesus Christ. Listen, it's the cross. Stop and think about that. The cross and all that the cross symbolizes, folks. Listen, in Corinthians here, when he talks about, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So that cross is the power of God for you and I. We've got to remember, but we've also got to understand that it represents the power of God to every believer, to everyone who's ever been saved, to live in the Spirit, just like an old car battery that we need. You know, it's got to have that clear, solid contact. We've got to have that same thing. We've got to have that connection, folks. Listen, we've got to be in harmony with the will of God. Amen? If we want our life to be everything that God intends for it to be, we've got to be connected to Him. If we are going to fully benefit from the power of God, folks, we've got to have that spiritual power by being connected to Him. So how do we go about doing that? And that's what I want us to think about today. Listen, it is to little or no value for you and I to have the power of Almighty God at our disposal if we're not connected, if we allow the connection to become rusty and corroded. Folks, we've got to make sure that we've got that corrosion and all that stuff taken care of. So how do we go about doing all that? Listen, I believe that there's far too many people in the church today that go through this life hearing that dreaded clicking sound because they don't have a good connection. See, there's a power. Guys, listen to me. Here's a great thing about our power source. We've got to understand this. Our power source never, ever weakens. We've got a battery that's so much better than the Energizer Bunny. The power source that we got today, folks, that is available to you and I will never go weak. Here's the great thing. Have you ever noticed that when you plug in too many things, sometimes your lights flicker or it'll trip a breaker? I don't know how many folks are here today, but guess what? If we all call upon the Lord at the same time, it doesn't weaken His power at all. If we are needing something from Him, it does not drain that power. He does not need to be recharged, and that's a great thing for you and I. But listen. In our text here, Paul encourages the church at Corinth right here to have some godly wisdom. We're going to go on. We're going to read some more verses of Scripture. Let's look at verse 19. It says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now listen, folks, we're to have wisdom. The only way that we can have the wisdom of God, folks, is by the preaching of the cross, by the blood of Christ being applied to our lives. There's a lot of smart people out in this world, but I want to tell you, they don't have godly wisdom at all. There are people that have an education like, I just can't believe you guys know how good my education is because I can't even talk right. But listen, it's not about an education. That's not what we're talking about. When we talk about wisdom, we're talking about things of God, how to live this life in order not to be successful, but to live this life so that God would be pleased with us, so that we can have a positive impact on our community. Listen, but for those outside the faith, according to the scripture that we read here, what you and I as the church, what we're involved in, the way that we live our life, it seems to be foolishness to those that are lost. They can't understand why in the world we'd want to get up on a Sunday morning when we've worked all week, why we'd want to come to the thing called Sunday school. They don't get that. They don't understand why we want to just come together and have a time of fellowship from time to time with one another. They don't understand that. Well, can you really have fun without getting out the beer? Yeah, well, you sure can. You see, they don't understand all of that. They don't understand why that when you have a need yourself, when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, but you see somebody else in need because of what Christ has done for you, you go ahead and give out of your need. The world doesn't understand that. Folks, listen, we've got an unlimited power source. You see, I believe that sometimes the world, they think we're foolish because they will see you and I pray for our enemies. Well, you know so-and-so, they've done this to you, so you've got every right to do that back to them. That ain't what my Bible teaches, folks. Not what my Bible teaches. Who has vengeance? It's the Lord, right? Not you and I. But listen, folks, listen. Maybe they don't understand because they see the assurance that we have that we're blessed and that when those will come up against us and revile against us, folks, when they persecute us, when they speak all manner of evil against us, the Bible says, when they see all this, yet we can forgive them and we can still love them. The world doesn't understand that, folks. Again, look at verse 18, what it says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. You see, when Paul talks about the power for the Christians, for me and you, folks, he's not talking about the cross, that wooden post. That's not what he's talking about, folks. What he's talking about that cross being the power source for you and I and what all that symbolizes. And, folks, I want to tell you that it symbolizes the sacrifice that Christ had while he was here upon the earth. And, folks, listen, he didn't just sacrifice on the cross. He sacrificed before that, did he not? He left heaven. All through his ministry, he was giving himself to others to meet other people's needs. He truly sacrificed. And that's a symbol of the cross, folks. Listen, he shed his blood on Calvary, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? The cross symbolizes his death. Yes, it symbolizes his burial and his resurrection. Let's not forget that. Listen, the crucifixion of the cross, folks, of Jesus Christ transformed the cross, folks. It was no longer an instrument of shame and reproach like it was, of embarrassment, but yeah, it became a symbol of the mighty power of God. You see, we don't look at the cross the same way anymore. Before, when the cross was symbolized, when it was put up, when somebody seen the cross, they knew that it meant death. They knew that somebody was going to die. But you know, when I look at the cross today, and I know that cross and what took place on that cross some 2,000 years ago, when somebody looks at that in faith, I guess what? It brings life. And so it symbolizes something different. So the preaching of the cross, folks, to those that are lost seems to be foolishness. You know, Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. Listen, how many of you believe that this morning? Well, I thought we should have got a little bit more amens than that. But listen to me. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he meant it. It is true. And you can take it to the bank, so to speak. Listen, he is the chief cornerstone of our faith. Amen? So when we begin looking at the cross and thinking about the reality of the cross, folks, it is our power source. Folks, that's how we get through this life. It is our spiritual energizer, if you will. It keeps us going and going and going and going. Listen, there's times, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, there's times in this Christian life that I just want to throw my hands up and say, what's the use? But you know what? Cross. Look to the cross, my power source, and says, John, there's the reason you ought to keep on going. Because Christ kept on going. But you know, there are a lot of people in the church today, folks, that they're hooked up to the wrong source. They're hooked up to a 6-volt battery when they need a 12-volt battery. Listen, there are too many people. They're depending on their own skills, their own abilities, folks, on their own power to get them through this thing called life. And I'll tell you what, those people, when trouble comes, when the heartaches come, and they will, the battery that they've got, it is just too much. It's overcome. It's wore down, and they can't get going. Folks, you need real power. And that real power comes from Jesus Christ. There are times in my life, there are times in your life, folks, that we need some spiritual intervention, some intervention that we can't muster up, that we can't do anything about. We need the work of the Lord. We need His power. So the question is this. What kind of connection is required? What kind of connection do you and I need so that we can be connected to our power source? Again, as I've already said, there's two different types of power. Electrical current. There's AC, which is alternating current, and there's DC, which is direct current. And I believe that there are people today in the church that call themselves followers of Christ, and they're in that AC current, that alternating current, folks. They suffer from being hooked up to that alternating current because what happens in their life, folks, they attend church, well, when it's convenient. They attend church when it's convenient, you know, on that alternating basis. I'll go this week and maybe not next week. I'll go maybe the following week. They pray on an alternating, irregular basis. You see, they're on an AC current. They give to God's work when it's convenient for them to do that. They do it occasionally, alternating. You know, if I feel like doing it, I'll do it. Listen, the AC followers, folks, they come to church when they feel like it. They pray when they feel like it, when it's convenient. They'll do the work of the Lord, provided they don't have something else going on. But then there's those folks in the church, they're hooked up to the DC power, the direct current. And I believe that God is looking for you and I to be folks that are disciplined in our discipleship, that we want to make other disciples, and we allow that direct current of God to control our lives. That's what we need to do, folks. Listen, God is seeking men and women, I believe, that will press toward the mark. He's looking for men and women that are yearning to mature in the faith, that they're wanting to finish the race, to finish their course. They want to do things well for the glory of the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, if you've got a good battery and the connecting cables are good, is there anything else that could be done? Is that all we need? Well, here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we've got good cables. We know we've got a great power source. Amen? But sometimes those connections just aren't tight. They're there. They're brand new connections. There's nothing wrong. There's no corrosion. But they just ain't tight. And folks, listen, our power source, our battery, if you will, it has to be free of external interference. And what do I mean by that? There can't be any space separating it, the cable from the battery post. It's got to be connected tight. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, there is nothing, folks, that can separate us from the love of God. So, folks, there must be nothing, no space that separates us from the love of the Master. What do you mean by that, John? Things that get in our way that hinder us from being everything we ought to be. Things that get in our way that kind of keep that connection with God tight. Listen, here's what it is. I'm going to tell you, in America today, and really in the world today, you know, we are a people that are driven by entertainment. Now, you're saying, well, John, I don't watch TV. It's not just TV, folks. It's our hobbies, whether it's sports, whether it's fishing, like I love to do, whatever it might be. There are all kinds of things that come up in our life that hinder us from being everything God wants us to be. They try to separate us from God. Now, is there anything wrong with fishing? No. Is there anything wrong with playing sports? No. Is there anything wrong with having other hobbies? I don't know what you women like to do, whether you want to go shopping or whatever it is, sewing, whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with having those things. But when those things take the place of us serving God, then there's a real problem. And we've got to be careful of that. We've got to make sure that we've got a connection that is tight, folks. In Hebrews, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Listen, folks, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Those things that I mentioned, hobbies, whether fishing, sports, whatever it is that you like to do, those in themselves are not sin, folks. But when those things begin to control our life, we better look out. We better be careful of that. But here's what I want to say to you. It's a lot of times it's not just our hobbies. It's not just the things we like to do. A lot of times it is self. And what do I mean by that? See, a lot of times, as I've already shared with you, I like me a whole lot. I do. I like me. I think I'm a pretty good guy. Now, some of you disagree with me, and that's okay. But see, I like me. So I'm going to do things that please me. You know what? Christian, I ought to be doing things that please my Lord and Savior. Now, sometimes the things that please me please Him, and that's when I'm lined up. That's when I'm connected good and tight. But sometimes I get a little bit, that connection gets a little bit loose, and I worry about self and not my Lord. You see, there is nothing that can separate us from God, according to what we just read there in Romans chapter 8. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But listen, you know what? Sin gets us off track, doesn't it? Sin gets us off track. Listen, here's what happens in my life and your life, folks. We begin to go about life and get so wrapped up in everything. Now, here's what happens. Things that we're talking about here in Hebrews, it's not necessarily sin, folks, but they're a weight. They're things that are holding us back in this race of life. Somebody has once said that, you know, this thing called life, it is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And that's true. It is a marathon. So as I go through this life and as I'm trying to live my life for the Lord, what I find out from time to time is this, as I'm going through this life, man, it's hard. It's real hard. And there's times that I want to give up. But then I remember, you know what? I've not crossed the finish line yet. My dad taught me not to be a quitter. And folks, I learned even from somebody greater than my dad, and that was my Savior, Jesus Christ. He was not a quitter, was he? Stop and think about that. At any given time, Jesus could have said, "Father, I don't want to go through this pain and agony." And let me tell you, before you think, well, he was God, so he could handle it. No, he was 100% man. 100% God, but 100% man. He felt the pain, pain that you and I probably will never realize in this lifetime. You see, not only did he have the physical pain of the nails going through his hands, of the thorns being placed on his head, of the beating that he took across his back, not only that, but you remember what the disciples did? They all scattered, didn't they? He was alone. When he hung on the cross, do you remember what the Father did? Turned his back. Can you imagine that pain? Listen, folks, we don't need to quit. We've got to make sure that the cables are connected, that there's nothing separating us, folks, listen, from our Lord. Here's what needs to happen, folks. The sin, the weights that cling to us, that hold us down, that corrode our lives, that loosen up that connection, if you will, we've got to free ourselves from those kinds of things. We've got to repent of those things that the Bible teaches us. And folks, the way that we do that is we continue to look to God. Get in His Word. Pray. Have that quiet time with Him. Again, I'm not an electrician by any means. But I've worked on my automobile enough, and I've changed enough batteries, and I've disconnected the batteries enough times. Here's what I know. There's a hot wire, and there's a ground wire, isn't there? Positive and negative. We've got both of those, folks. Listen. There's that hot wire. There's that ground cable. And to be connected to Christ, folks, and grounded in Christ, we've got to be grounded in love for one another. Folks, I am so tired of people telling me about the bad things that go on in churches. Listen, if you and I, this is scriptural, if you and I will have love for one another as the Bible teaches us, they, those that are lost, those outside the church, they will know that we are His disciples if we have love one for another. So do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, we're to love the lost, absolutely. We're to take the gospel to them. But listen, if they see bickering amongst ourselves, if they see us butting heads within our own body of believers, why would they want any part of that? We've got to love one another. I know Eulah sometimes is hard to love, but we got to love him anyway. There's probably not anybody in the church any easier to love than Eulah, is there? But listen, folks, we've got to love one another. We've got to do things God's way. Sometimes we've just got to plunge into that foolishness of believing that, you know what, God's going to work out a miracle. Even though I can't see how it's going to happen, I'm going to believe Him who He says He is. And sometimes we just got to plunge into praying for those that have used us, those that have persecuted us, those who make fun of us, whatever it is. We've got to ground ourselves in the knowledge that is in Christ, folks, that listen, when you and I live for Him, we can have a greater impact in this community. See, the world will tell you, be all you can be. It's all about you. You know, there are religions in this world today that will tell you that if you do things well enough on your own, that you will one day become a god. Listen to me, folks, and listen close. Our Bible teaches us that there's a real place called heaven. And oh, don't we all want to go to heaven? A place where there's no more cancer. A place where there's no more disease. A place where there's no more heartache. Boy, I want to go there, don't you? But listen to me, church. The Bible also tells us there's a real place called hell. And folks, if you're not connected to the power source of Jesus Christ, if His blood has not been applied to your life, when you take that last breath, guess what? You're going to spend an eternity in a real place called hell. Now, I'm telling you, that's not popular preaching today. But that's biblical preaching. That's the truth. How are you connected? Who are you connected? What are you connected to? Listen, you and I, we need to be connected to Jesus Christ. He is, as the Bible says, the rock of our salvation, folks. He is eternal. And if you want to think about batteries, He's the diehard. He does not die. Folks, if you want to think about batteries and electricity and all that kind of stuff, listen, He's the ever-ready. He's not the bunny, but He is ever-ready to help you and I, to give us the power we need to go through this thing called life. Folks, listen. They crucified my Lord and Savior Jesus on the cross. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb, the Bible tells us. And they tried to drain Him, if you will, of His eternal power. But did it happen? No, it did not. How do we know? Because that Sunday morning, He rose with all power. And folks, I want to tell you, He is alive today. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you and I, as believers in Christ, we ought to rejoice in that. Folks, that ought to give us a little power surge, if you will, to get out into our community and to share the love of Christ. When we stop and think about who our Jesus is, it ought to excite us a little bit. But I know we've got to be a little bit careful, because we're Baptist after all. Listen to me, folks. It's okay to get a little excited about our Jesus. In fact, I would encourage you to do it. Some of you in the choir this morning, when you all was singing, when the roll was called up yonder, I was looking up in there. We ought to be smiling when we're singing that song. If it's true, but I know Verna, she can't smile and sing at the same time, can you, Verna? But we ought to try it. Listen, when the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. And that ought to excite me a little bit when I stop and think about that. Listen, we are living in a time when people need the Lord, amen? We are living in a time when we see destruction all around us, when we see lives being torn apart because of drugs, because of alcohol, because of sin. And folks, we've got what people need. And listen, yes, you may knock on a door someday. You may talk to somebody at a restaurant about the Lord, and they may make fun of you and think, I ain't got time for your God. They may make statements. Listen, they can't drain you of the power that you've got through Christ. Oh, it's disappointing to hear somebody say that they don't want to have anything to do with God. It breaks my heart. But listen, it does not drain the power that God has. He is still in the soul-saving business. And folks, we've got the good news. Let's share it with folks. Listen. The question this morning is this: are you connected to the power source? Have you been bought with the blood of Christ? Are you saved? Do you know when you leave this life where you're going to spend eternity? You say, well, John, I know where I'm going. I know I'm saved. Let me ask you this. Is your connection good? Is God pleased with the way that you're living your life? Are you living your life in victory? Or are you letting things defeat you? Here's what we're going to do is, Brother Steve comes and Miss Renetta comes. We have a gospel hymn of invitation. I want you to think about this. If you're saved, is that a direct current that you're connected to on that alternating current? Are you doing things for Him when it's convenient? Are you doing things for Him when, you know, you ain't really got anything else to do? Or do you have that direct current where you're all about Him? You're spending time in the Word. You're spending time in prayer. You're talking to people that you know about Jesus Christ. Where are you at today? Are you connected at all? If you're not connected, won't you come forward and say, John, I need to be saved. And I will show you scripturally how you can know that you can have eternal life. It's not a hope so, a maybe so. It's a no so salvation. And you can be connected. So grab your hymn book. Please stand. We're going to